This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes. Also, make sure to check out and subscribe to our YouTube original channel, UCTV Prime, available only on YouTube at youtube.com/UCTV Prime. This UCTV podcast is sponsored in part by Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of digital audiobooks available, including many by guests you've heard here on UCTV. Audible.com is offering UCTV podcast listeners a free 30-day trial subscription and one free audiobook download. Just visit audibletrial.com/UCTV to sign up. That's audibletrial.com/UCTV. And thanks.
UCLA's motto is Champions Made Here, and we've got a bunch of champions on our show for you this time. We're going to start off with women's golf, who won the championship in 2011. We're very pleased to be joined by some repeat guests to Brew and Talk, Ani Golugian and Lee Lopez. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having us.
You are right now in your kind of only break of the year. You just finished your fall schedule, and you pick them up and start playing tournaments again in February. Ani, you going to get any time away from the clubs?
I had a little bit of time, a couple days, just to catch up on schoolwork and stuff. But you got to keep working, got to keep grinding it out for spring. So,
Lee, what kind of things do you work on now when you're not actually playing tournament competition?
I think for us golfers, a little more mechanical now that we won't be competing for the next 2 months. So a lot of time on the driving range, a lot of time just working on your different set of skills that you have and just keep trying to improve them for spring.
Golf is a sport that you have to practice, like you're saying, Ani, nonstop, basically. It's a year-round sport. And before the show, we had a discussion about yoga and how much we liked it. But most people don't think about the cross-training that golfers might have to put in, the flexibility and the strength. Tell us a little bit about what you do off the course to make sure that you're playing your best.
We're having workouts 3 times a week, and we do extra on our own. And Ani and I really like doing yoga in Santa Monica. So I think it's just as much discipline doing that as on the golf course, definitely.
What's the goal when you're doing these kind of cross training? I know for years, tour players would never be seen anywhere near a gym, and now they work out like fanatics. What do you worry about building up muscles in areas that are going to decrease your flexibility?
I think it's an all-around body workout. I know for golfers it's really important for our flexibility to do that. So like we were talking about yoga, definitely getting stronger. As women, you want to hit the ball further, so you need to do anything you can to do that. Cardio, definitely. I know it doesn't seem very rigorous to be out playing 18 holes, but 5 days straight for 5 hours a day, it's a lot. So.
Both of you have been playing golf for quite some time now. You both played 4 years in high school. What initially attracted you to the sport? How did you pick up your first set of clubs?
For me, it was my dad. He played golf all the time when I was younger, and I think from the time I was 3, I had a golf club in my hand, and he started giving me lessons around 7, and at 8, I started competition, so it's been a long time.
You've both had a chance to play in competitions outside of school. I know, Ani, you were in the 2009 U.S. Open. Lee, you played in the LPGA ShopRite Classic in 2012. What is it like when you're out there really competing just on your own in a tournament with some of the best players in the world?
It's so much fun. I think it's what we both work for the entire season, not only to be on a team, but to improve individually. So to be able to play against the best in the world at one of the top tournaments in the world, it's so much fun. It's like living the dream, what you work for your whole life.
Is there any kind of an awe factor when you get out and say, wait a second, I'm playing in a tournament with all those LPGA players that I see every week? Does it take you a while to realize, hey, I've just got to get here and play my game?
I think so, definitely, especially when it's your first tournament. Like for me, it was my first LPGA event. So it took a while to feel comfortable, but once I did, it's just another golf course. You're competing against other people. So it's the same thing, just different venues.
Ani, is it tough to remind yourself to play the course, not the competitor lined up with you?
I think most definitely it is. It's one of the key things in golf is you have to focus on being mentally strong and focusing on just your game and one shot at a time. So, yes.
we're talking about you guys playing kind of in individual tournaments, and most people think of golf as an individual sport, but here at UCLA, you're on a team. Every hole that you play contributes to the team. So explain to us and our viewers how golf can be a team sport rather than just an individual sport.
It's a lot of pressure, I feel like, because when you have a team, you know how hard everybody else's work, not only yourself. So I think when you get out there, you're always thinking about your teammates. I know I am. It's hard not to. So it's tough, but I think you need to remind yourself all you can do is your best, and that's all your teammates ask of you. So, but it's really nerve-wracking, I think.
We talked about the 2011 NCAA championship. Part of the great legacy of UCLA is the team championships. As you look back on that, Ani, describe your feelings when the Bruins won the title and you were a big part of it.
I think about it a lot, actually, and I want to have that feeling again. So it's the most incredible feeling you could possibly have to work so hard for so long and then have that ultimate goal achieved and be with your teammates. Normally golf, it's an individual sport, so you kind of are your own hero in a sense. And then when you have your team, you're able to celebrate with everybody and everybody is happy for you and the school, representing the school as well. So.
Lee, you transferred to UCLA. You got to take part in that wonderful championship run. Golf is a series of near misses. Every round there's a couple shots that get away, and a lot of times in tournaments there's a couple shots that make the difference, but to actually get to the end and be the champion, describe the feeling.
It was unreal. I think about it a lot. Sometimes it seems unreal sometimes, and I just have to go back and say, wow, we really did do that, because I think you come to a place like UCLA and you know it's a possibility, and to actually make that possibility happen, it was one of the best moments of my life so far, definitely.
Lee, Dave alluded to the fact that you transferred into UCLA after playing your first year of college golf at Long Beach State, if I'm not mistaken. What helped you make the decision to come to UCLA? You're from kind of the Southern California area. What attracted you to UCLA?
Honestly, I just wanted to be a part of the UCLA community and the Bruin family. I think we build a really strong legacy of being very devoted to not only athletics but academics, and I wanted to come to a school that would give me that opportunity to challenge me to be a better athlete, better golfer, better student, better person. And I also really wanted to be coached by Carrie and Alicia. It was, I think, to be here with them for 4 years has been really special. So
we've talked a lot about golf being a sport that's a mental sport. There's no question about it. You have to be dialed in to compete at your best. Before a competition, Ani, I know you go out and practice 5 hours a day, but you're on the tee and you're just about to start a tournament. Are there jitters you really have to get a handle on?
Definitely.
How do you manage that?
Every time you tee it up, no matter how big or small the tournament is, you have those first tee jitters. But you just kind of take a deep breath and go into your routine and just say, this is just like I practiced, and you just kind of go with it and focus on your swing tips. So,
Lee, the third shot in the first round is just as important as the, shot on the 18th hole coming down the stretch. Are there times when you have to refocus, say, wait a second, I really got to pay attention here, even though it's the early rounds and early hole. Are there times when your mind kind of wanders and you have to pull yourself back in?
Definitely. I think that happens for every athlete that plays golf. You're out there for 5 hours. It's bound to happen. And sometimes I feel like you want it to happen. You don't just want to be on the grind for 5 straight hours. So you need time to relax and then come back and regroup. And I think it makes it easier if you take a little mental break and then come back and think, okay, here's my next shot.
We were talking about your schedule, and your schedule, even over the holidays and after, before you start playing tournaments again in February, it's really demanding. You're out there practicing. You get great weather to practice in Southern California. That's good because you get a lot of quality practice time, but do you think it makes it harder when you get into tournament time and you may be playing somewhere in the wind and the rain?
I think so, definitely. And I think that's something that as a team we all need to work on, is that we're really lucky, we're spoiled here in Southern California that we always get to practice in that kind of weather. So I think it's something that maybe we just need to get out when there is bad weather and practice, since we will be playing in that.
And Ani, we were talking before we started taping the show about having to play in all kinds of layers of gear, and it's something that people who watch on TV really don't think about. Say, how come they couldn't hit that shot? You're dressed up like a parka and gloves. It really makes a difference in how you play the game depending on how cold it is, doesn't it?
Definitely. Even just trying to swing with all those layers on, or you have to make sacrifices to be cold rather than put the layers on so you can make the shot. So
We've been talking about how much golf is a mental game and how you need to take mental breaks and then regroup. And we mentioned earlier that there's always going to be those shots in the round where it doesn't go exactly maybe how you wanted. How do you not let those little setbacks set you back for the entire tournament? How do you make sure to move on from those mistakes?
I think, honestly, that's something that we all constantly work on, and I think even the most experienced players have to work on that. For me, personally, I just feel like, why waste that one shot for something that I'll be doing for the next 3 hours, for the next month, for the next 10 years? So I just try to see it as in a big picture and not focus on that little moment and just don't let one thing take away from everything you've been doing well so far.
As we project into the future, a lot of recent Bruins are doing very well out on the Pro Tour. Ryan O'Toole's had a wonderful career. There's Stephanie Kono. They're all getting out there playing. You guys are going to be in that position in the next couple of years. Tell us your thoughts as you look ahead to a professional future.
I think for me, this being my senior year, the LPGA is definitely in my goal list for sure. I'll be graduating June with my degree, so I'm really excited about that. But as soon as I finish the season and get my degree, I'm definitely planning on going to qualifying school in the fall. So I'm excited about that. It's something that I've been working for a really long time now, and it will be nice to see a lot of Bruins out there on the tour. It will help a lot.
Ani, you've got a little more time, but have you thought about the future years?
Oh, definitely. How can you not? You think about that before you even start college. So just like Lee, I'm going to finish out and get my degree and then go out there and try and live out my dream.
Well, they're off right now, but they come back in February as they start playing their spring tournament schedule. And you can follow all the exploits of UCLA Women's Golf on UCLABruins.com. Ani, Lee, thanks for joining us so much. Great to have you back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more UCLA Bruin Talk right after this message.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions made here.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Bruin Talk. It is now time to honor our Student Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor Brett Hundley as our Athlete of the Week. In UCLA football's dominating 66-10 win over Arizona, Brett passed for 288 yards and 3 touchdowns. At one point in the game, he made 16 straight passes, finishing with 23 completions on 28 attempts. Hundley's 21 touchdown passes this season are tied for the 5th most in a single year, and his 2,761 yards of total offense are 7th most in one campaign at UCLA. Congratulations, Brett, and good luck with the rest of the season. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at uclabruins.com.
Continuing on our theme of champions made here, the 11th national championship banner for men's basketball would not be hanging in Pauley Pavilion without the exploits of our next guest. We're very pleased to welcome Tyus Edney to Bruin Talk. And Tyus, back on campus, your third year now as the director of basketball operations for the men's team. Great to have you on our show.
Thanks for having me.
I know people talk to you all the time about your dash against Missouri, 4.8 seconds end-to-end, that really got the Bruins to the point where they could win that 95 championship. You ever get tired of talking about it?
Never.
Well, it's one of the most iconic plays in UCLA history, and it's got to be wonderful knowing that people are always going to associate you with that winning team.
Yeah, it's a great memory. I mean, that year, the way it finished out really is what's exciting to me. But the play and just the people that remember, where a lot of people remember where they were, what they were doing. I've heard a lot of interesting stories, and I love hearing them all, so it's been great.
Now, that banner is hanging in a beautiful new home in the rafters of New Pauley Pavilion. The men's team just moved back in there and get your season going underway in the new building. Tell us what it's like going back to that wonderful home.
Oh, we're all excited. I mean, it's been a long, seems like forever. You know, we've been practicing in different places, and you know, it's been tough. But now we're finally back to where we belong, and we're really excited. And it's a beautiful arena. You know, UCLA did an unbelievable job, and you know, we're just happy to be back in there.
We mentioned earlier that this is your third year back on campus being director of basketball operations for the team. What kind of experience do you take from being on the other side, maybe, and that you were a player and now you're kind of within the administration? What kind of wisdom do you feel like you can impart on these young Bruins?
I think I just try to get them to just focus, not stress too much. You know, it's hard being an athlete. You're so busy. I think they're even busier than we were. But I remember, you know, just having always something to do, having to be somewhere practicing and things like that. And it can get stressful. And you know, just trying to just show that I understand and just help them, you know, get through it as best as they can.
Tell us about some of your duties as director of basketball operations.
Like she said, just kind of sometimes mentoring them, just keeping, giving words of wisdom, things like that. Basically, just day-to-day things that come up, meetings, you know, departments meeting, things like that. I have to keep a coach and everyone, you know, abreast on and just being, you know, basically there to do whatever needs to be done at any time, which, like, being in different practice places and things like that all the time and having to organize things like that. But things come up all the time, so it's something that keeps me on my toes.
The composition of a college basketball team, real different now than when you played. A lot of players are here 1-2 years and then gone, so you're always rebuilding. You always have younger players. Mm-hmm. What kind of pressures does that put on a staff as you try to mold a team?
Well, you're always recruiting, I know. I mean, it's you want the kids to do well and you want them to go on and maybe play professional basketball. I mean, I think that's what we're here for, is to make them better players. So, you know, if they're able to do that, that's a compliment, I think, to the staff. But at the same time, as you said, it's tough because you don't know every year what your team is going to be that next season. So those are the challenges, but, you know, we're all the coaches and staff and everybody's just all out there trying to, you know, keep the talent level up and keep everyone wanting to be Bruins.
Tyus, after UCLA, you had 4 years in the NBA and then a long career overseas. And we were talking before the show started about how I was flipping channels in Italy one night in 2006 and I saw a familiar player out on the floor. It must have been wild playing in those European leagues.
Yeah, it was. I had a great experience over there. You know, it's good and bad, really, but mostly good, which was fortunate for me. And it was a ball playing over there. Fans are, you know, they're fanatical. And I don't know if you've seen soccer over there and how the fans are in those games, but they take it inside to the basketball court, too. So it's a lot different than you know, you might expect, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, I just remember the fans were about 1 inch from the court, and they were throwing things up in the stands, and, you know, the game was somehow going on. Is the play more physical over there?
I think it is a little bit more physical. I think now with the NBA, there's, you know, a lot of rules to kind of not have too much, you know, physicality. So over there, they don't have those rules, so you can get away with a lot more over there, but... You know, people may not know, it is definitely a physical game and you know, it's a tough game.
This year, the Pac-12 tournament is moving from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, which is more of a neutral site. The Staples Center is neutral, but we're here, USC is here, and Las Vegas is completely neutral. Mm-hmm. How do you think this will affect the Bruins? Are you looking forward to that change, maybe shaking things up a little bit?
I think we're all looking forward to it. I think Vegas is a great venue. Like you said, it's a neutral site, but it's still close for everyone. And I think it's just a great place to have a tournament. We're all looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a nice tournament. It's a good change, I think. Sometimes you have to shake things up. So I think it'll turn out well.
Tyus, after your playing days ended, how did you go about staying involved in the game, coming back to UCLA, coming back to your home?
When I stopped, I helped out a little bit at a high school, and kind of right away this opportunity came up to come back home, really, and you know that's kind of how it worked out for me, and you know so far it's been going well.
The last year when the roadshow went to the sports arena and to Ontario, it seemed like Pauley Pavilion was just a distant thought in the future, but now the viewing. Tell us about the locker rooms and the lounges and the film room, a lot of stuff that didn't exist before.
Yeah, the kids are fortunate now. They they have it good, but you know, I'm lucky to be here to enjoy it with them and open the building with them. But it's definitely a lot different. I mean, it's modernized. It feels like Pauley still. You know, when I walked down for the first time onto the floor, I still felt like it was still Pauley Pavilion, but you know, obviously with a facelift and an upgrade, but it feels like you're in, you know, a pro style arena now. I mean, it's beautiful. They did a great job.
There's a lot of exposure for Pac-12 basketball this year with the new network, and a lot of games are going to be on TV, and I think the entire conference is getting stronger. How do you see the Pac-12 shaking down this year?
I think it'll be a lot tougher conference this year. I think the talent level has gone up overall over the league, and you know, some teams have improved just with either guys being out or redshirting that are coming back now. So you know, I expect it to be a tougher league this year, and like you said, we're getting a lot more exposure with the Pac-12 network, and even on the East Coast, they'll be able to watch our games. So I know a lot of our guys are happy about that are from back there. So, you know, we're expecting it to be a tough season.
I know my parents are excited that they get to keep up with the Bruins now all the way in Texas. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Texas, you guys are set to play the Longhorns in December at Reliant Stadium, mm-hmm. which is basically there's going to be a basketball court plopped in the middle of a football field. What are you looking forward to that experience? It's going to be a lot different, but it's got to be exciting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we have some good trips this year. Even Brooklyn we're getting ready for now, and that'll be fun. I mean, I've never been there or seen the arena, and you know, I know it's huge, and it'll be interesting how that is. I mean, I guess it'll be a little bit like a Final Four type situation where you're in a big, you know, arena. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how our guys, react in that type of environment.
Well, I'll see you there because I do the women's play-by-play, and the women are also playing Texas, mm-hmm. the first half yeah. of that doubleheader. You won your national championship in Seattle in a dome. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between playing in a dome and playing in a regular arena? They always say it's tough to get that shooter's mm-hmm. that shooter's eye when you're playing with a deep backdrop.
Yeah, it's. I think you feel it more when you first walk in and you're just looking around, and it's just everything. People are, you know, just way, you can't even see them, really. You just know that there are people up there. But it was strange that once you got on the court, and it seemed like, you know, it shrunk, like you were just on the court. So I think we got used to it pretty fast. I mean, once, it's almost like you're overwhelmed, but then once you get on the court and you're familiar with, you know, the basket, everything's the same distance and court's the same size, and you realize that it's, you know, it's normal just like any other place, and you adjust, I think.
I always wondered, you know, they always say it's tough for shooters to adjust, and you know, guys play in the park all the time. There's no stands in the park.
Yeah,
you've got
yeah.
trees way off in the distance. But is it kind of like playing outside in the park?
It is a little bit, I think so, just because nothing is right next to you, you know, and you don't have the wind factor like you do at the park.
But, right. Well, that's going to be a real high-profile game against Texas December 8th. How important are those national profile games for a team to get prepared for the pressures of tournament play?
I think extremely important. I mean, we play a lot of good teams this year. Like I was saying, Missouri, San Diego State, I mean, those, Brooklyn, we have those, the two teams that we can play there. And those are the games that you expect to see if you're fortunate to make it to the tournament. So playing in those games, playing in big games and big arenas and different venues like that prepares you for the tournament. And I think that's one of the most important things, even in our season that we did, was play those big games and, you know, had success so you have confidence going into the tournament.
I want to go back to Pauley Pavilion for just a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, season's upcoming. There's a great recruiting class. There are high expectations for the UCLA Bruins this year. How do you prepare to help lead this team into battle and get to these tournaments that we're talking about?
I think everyone's just so excited to be back. I mean, really, it's hard to not be motivated to do well. And I think we're fortunate to have freshmen that are all winners and came from winning programs. So they're used to doing that. And I think that they've brought that kind of atmosphere here, and you know, it makes it kind of easy just to prepare them and get them ready. You know, it's they're excited to play, so that kind of, you know, makes it a little easier for us. But we know that we'll, you know, get them focused and get them ready to go to battle and defend our home.
Allison and I were wondering before the show how long we're going to be calling it New Pauley Pavilion. My guess is a few years. What do you think? A few years?
More than that.
Okay. Well, it's a wonderful home. It's great to have Tyus Edney on the court with the Bruins. Thanks so much for stopping in on Bruin Talk, and best of luck for the upcoming season.
All right. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for having us. We're glad you joined us for UCLA Bruin Talk. Allison and I will be back next week with another great show. Until then, I'm Dave Marcus saying so long from Westwood.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.